Okay, picking up over here. We have like this. There's a couple of important inyanim and practices now, and I want to try to focus on over here. The basic story, obviously, of Noach, I think we're all hopefully well aware of since the time we're in second grade. Noah and the Ark, the whole shebang, the flood, right? Hebrew, the old Mabul word, and like that. So leaving out some of the details in the story, which I hope I don't have to fill in, or try to look at things in a little bit more of a deeper sense over here, and with a little bit more of an insight, and hopefully weave through an idea through a lot of the areas in the parasha. You have like this. There's a well-known pasuk right at the beginning of Noach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Noach the tzivui to build the teva. And really, in a rather famous pasuk, Noach is told, Kinim Tazes Ateva. Okay? Rashi and Chumash points out the word Kinim basically means chambers or rooms. You should have a lot of different rooms and the thing for all the different animals, something like that. Okay? The Pashup Shad is there in the pasuk. But there's a Medrash in the Medrash Rabbah that writes as follows, the Chanan Pashta Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Piska Tes, in the Medrash. It says like this, an unbelievable Lashon, Kinim Tazes Ateva. So if you're familiar at all with which we might not be so familiar, but they're familiar with a different place in Shas, there's a kind of a carbon called kinim. As a matter of fact, there's a mesechta called meseches kinim with a kuf, not kinim like a lice in your head, but kinim with a kuf. And a kinim, a cane, basically means a pair of birds, okay? And there you go, right, for good example. And there are a couple of different people in the Torah that are required to bring a kinim, a pair of birds, and one is an ola, one is a chatas. To be metahir, basically, themselves. And you have somebody who had various kinds of tumah, yoledet, the person who gave birth, is one example, and there's some others as well, that the halacha demands that in order for them to be metahir themselves, they have to bring, again, this pair of birds, the kinim, okay, of the birds. And like I said before, there's a mesechtical, mesechus kinim, what happened to deal with all different confusions within that particular carbon. Yet, let's say two women gave birth and they had the four birds sitting there in a cage and everything gets mixed up. You're not sure which is the ola, which is the chatas, etc. Well, those are whole many, many sugyas, complicated mishnayot about this. The Medrash makes the following comment, just to explain what the word is, but that's not really so important for us, the exact kind of carbon. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Yitzchak makes basically a play on words. Noach is told that kinim tazes ateva. Make the teva with these kinim, okay? And says the Medrash, Ma kena ze metairas ha-metzora. Just like that pair of birds, the king is metahir, someone who's a metzora, someone who has saras, as tevascha metairascha. So too the teva that you're going to go in is going to serve as a metahir, that's going to serve as something to purify you, okay? And of course we know whenever somebody requires a purification, a tahara, obviously there's something wrong to begin with, like that you have to be metahir to purify and to help the guy get out of that problem. So one thing that we see very, very clearly by that Lashon and the Medrash is that the Teva was not meant to be a mere means to save Noah from the flood. If you're not in the box, then you're going to drown in the water. More than that, the Chazam are telling us that the Teva's Noah had some kind of, we'll call it, I guess, a positive purpose. There was something going on in that Teva that was serving as a metahir, to remove a problem, purify some kind of impurity. And obviously, we want to try to understand what exactly that is. What kind of tahara was needed by Noach, and what exactly did the Teva accomplish? What were they doing over there? Okay. Number two, you have a Svorna. Svorna points out at the very, very end of Parshas Bereishis, from last week's Parsha. The last pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, we sort of skip over this one because we were either sleeping by then, and we don't necessarily even notice the important connection between that last pasuk and this week's parsha. The Bereishis ends with the following words: Noach matza chein be'enei Hashem. Noach found favor in God's eyes. That's the pasuk, right? The end of Bereishis, as you remember from last week, speaks about how people are starting to do the bad things, as you pointed out before, during that the time period. And Noach matzachein b'nei Hashem. Then the beginning of our parsha starts off, the Eila told us, Noach ben ish tzaddik tamar hayah b'dorosav, and all of that. There's a Sforno on that last pasuk over there. Noach found favor, matzachein b'nei Hashem. The Sforno writes the following thing, unbelievable. Lo mipnei shayah ro'oi l'kach. Noach, when the Torah says he found favor, and because of that Hashem wanted to save him and he built the teva, was not because he was deserving of being saved. No. Aval atzad chanina zikeyo akel yizbarach lezeh. It was only because God was being nice, because Noah found chen, found favor in Hashem's eyes. He gave what we call a matnas chinam, a free gift, a chen, that was given over to him. And again, says the Sforno, very, very critical, obviously, Noah himself did not deserve to be saved. He deserved to drown in the marble just like everybody else. But it's Baruch who said, oh, I have a sense of chanina, that need, I'm going to save you to rebuild the world. Okay. Now, why is that true? Why was Noah so bad? Right? Why was he just like everybody else? It needed to be destroyed. The Sforno makes the comment that many of us probably heard of before, but we're going to have to explain it a little bit more in depth. What was that? Well, it's funny to say that. It's a little bit less critical. But then, ki lo lamdu as doram madas es Hashem kevram Moshe Shmuel v'zulasam. Noah had a certain fault. This Svarno brings down, and others discuss this as well, that Noah didn't attempt to teach the generation that he lived in to know and relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't try to help them do tshuva. He didn't really get involved with people to try to save what he realized and what saw was a bad situation that was developing in the world. And because of that, Noach had that pigam, that deficiency, that fault, Kadosh Baruch Hu felt that the truth is, deserves to be destroyed just like everybody else. He's not the perfect tzaddik that we might have otherwise believed. He deserved, this one says, to be killed. But Noach matzachein be'enei Hashem. Now, if we take a look at that Svarno, there's something that is very, very striking. Okay, we're going to try to explain a little bit over here. Very, very striking. The door of the Mabel, right, we all know, right, was destroyed by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mala Arts Chamas Mipneim, but the world was filled with Geza, with people were stealing, etc. The Rashi quotes in the beginning of the Parsha, the Chazal, Lo Nechtam, Gemar Gizardinim, Ela Ala Geza, right, after all the horrible Aveiros, the Avodah Zarah, the Gilui Arayos, but what Kadosh Baruch Hu saw was like the worst thing was that the Pashat had a total lack of respect for each other, expressed by the fact that they're walking on stealing, right? No respect for other people's property, etc. Okay, they had to be destroyed. Now Noah, right, we know one thing I think is simple to assume, even though no one really points this out, but it has to be like this. Noah was probably not involved with Avodah Zarah. He was not involved with the Arayos that were there. Even, right, why am I making that point? Even the opinion at the beginning of the parasha that makes the comment that Noah wasn't wouldn't have been viewed as a big tzaddik in Avraham Avinu's time. Right? Very, very nice. That's true. That doesn't mean that Noah was a Megala Arayos and an Oved Avodah Zarah. It means he was a righteous, basically okay person, but you put it in comparison to a giant like Avraham Avinu, so he wouldn't have been on par with that. But to criticize Noah as being as bad as everybody else is untenable. It's impossible to actually believe. But yet, the Sforno teaches us over here that because Noah wasn't involved in teaching and trying to encourage people to come back to Ribbono Shel Olam, he was deserving of death the same way everybody else. In other words, whatever the level of understanding is, Noah's fault was viewed in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes as being as bad as everybody else. They are deserving of death and destruction the same exact way, right? The Yesh L'Hakshas, we can ask ourselves a very, very simple question. How is that true? In other words, it doesn't seem that what Noah did wrong over here, right, even according to the Sforno's understanding, was as bad as what everyone else is doing wrong. What exactly is the idea? Yeah, you had a question? Or no? Relevant to what we're saying, this time a general question. Not exactly. Avraham Avinu wasn't yet the tzaddik that he was then. It was might have been a crossing of paths, perhaps. I have to check all the dates again. But not the person of Avraham Avinu was not around then. Okay, so let's try to understand a little bit those two points. We have a lot to try to do in order before we get back to them. Now let's go. Okay. Again, the two things we want to try to understand is what the role of the teva was. Why did Chazal say the teva was a metaher, right? What had to be fixed up, and how did the teva accomplish that? And then this idea of Noah, even if this one quote a little thing that he did wrong about not going out and teaching people and trying to help, that was deserving of death and destruction. Like everyone else, how do we understand exactly what that is? So here we have one of the yesodos. That is so, so important to try to remember and be keeping in mind when we're learning this parasha. And again, as we're going to see right now, that this is the theme and the idea that is going to carry itself through every event and every limud over here in Noah. You have a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Pei Tet. Okay? The pasuk says, we actually just said this recently on Hoshana Rabbah Day when we were saying the Akafos, a very, very famous pasuk, Ki Amarti Olam Chesed Yibanim. Rabbi Baruch Hu tells us, Ki Amarti, I have said, the Rabbanu Shalom teaches us, Olam Chesed Yibanim. The world was built on Chesed. Now, that was the cornerstone of the entire world. That's what the world is all about. Again, on many, many different levels, of course, one of them being the very, very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world and gave us a chance to come close to Him and to serve Him and do the avodas that we have here in Olam HaZeh. That was a chesed. The existence that we have, the existence of the universe, was an incredible chesed on behalf of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's one level. And obviously, okay, if that's true, the Odom Chesed Yibana, that the foundation of the world, the very reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, again, whether you're taking the approach that the Mesilas Yesharim, the Derech Hashem, bring at the beginning of the Svarim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us a chance to come close to Him and the ultimate good and all of that, whatever it is that you can understand, but bottom line is the world was motivated, right, out of a concern of Chesed, and that has to translate, okay, no two ways about it. Has to translate into our lives, like understanding that, well, if that's the cornerstone of the world, if that's what Olam Chesed Yibana, this is what built Olam Hazeh and the entire universe that we have over here, if that's what it is, we obviously, based on the idea that a person has a mitzvah deraisa, a halachta bidrachav, to walk in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways, to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam, it goes without saying that one of the basic tasks that a person has here in Olam HaZeh is to try to perfect as much as possible that exact need of chesed. The same way a Kodesh Baruch Hu is mitchesed, is constantly doing chesedim for every single moment of our lives, right? If we stop and think about it, every moment the Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving us so much, the Jew's job, and at some stage in the game, this is all of mankind's job as well, is to try to emulate that midas hachesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam in as close as possible of ways to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be as selfless as possible, etc. That's what the world is all about. Olam chesed yibane. Now, here we have a big problem. Rashi pointed out, we quoted this Rashi before, right? Rashi at the beginning of the Pasha quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us, Lo nechtam gezardinam ela ala gezel. Right? The gezardin on the door of Mabel was sealed eventually because of gezel. Everybody, right, when you see that Chazal, is going to wonder, it's an obvious question. They were involved with so many other worse things. Avodah Zarah is worse than stealing, right? And halacha, again, after Matan Torah, Avodah Zarah is Yehari V'Yavar. Arayos they were involved with, right? The Chumash tells us. That's also Yehari, that these are horrible, horrible kind of crimes, okay? The animals were involved in Gilui Arayos. Everything went nuts in the world. The whole world was crazy at that stage in the game. And along comes the Kadosh Baruch Hu basically and says to us, I can handle all of that stuff, right? That's fine. But gezel, there are people stealing things from each other, as quote unquote small of an aveda as that, if it's a lav that you don't even get malchus for, right, in a bezin for gezel, that's it. The world is going to be destroyed. Why? It can only be understood in light of the pasuk that we were just quoting and explaining. If we understand properly that Olam Chesed Yibana, the whole foundation of everything we have in this world, is supposed to be the midah of Chesed, the way we relate to other people, the way we respect other people, the way we treat other people, etc. And you can have a world that's Mola Ha'aretz Chamas, that's filled with Chamas. Not there's a guy here, a guy there, that is stealing things from somebody. That's filled with that. That means it's everywhere, not just rampant, but it's everywhere. Again, when the Torah uses the word, the Torah is always very exacting in its Lashona. When you use the word Mala Ha'aretz, the world is filled with that. That means the same way the cup gets filled with the water. It's everywhere. Chamas and Gezer were absolutely everywhere. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at that and says, absolutely not. This is a kind of an existence, a kind of a world that cannot exist. Not as a, again, listen carefully how we're going to phrase this right now, not as a punishment, right, for the Aveira of Gezel. Punishment for the Aveira, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu has the right to say, you know what, I'll be an Erech HaPayim, I'll be Mochel, I'll hold off like this, which is what he did with the Arayos and the all the other stuff that was going on back there. That I can handle, Kadosh Baruch Hu says. But, right, you pull away the cornerstone. You destroy the foundation. The yesod isn't there, then the world just can't. It just can't stand. It can't exist anymore. Once the world is mala ha'aretz kamas, once the world is filled with gezel like that, then there can't be a universe anymore. There can't be a world again. Not as an onesh to the people, although it certainly resulted in what we would look at as an onesh, but the onesh wasn't an onesh per se, it was a result of a lack of a foundation, that the world just drops out of the sky, boom, it can't be here anymore. You take the table, the legs off the table crushes on my legs, right? It's not a punishment because I did something wrong, it's a fact, it's a reality. If you don't have the legs on the table falls. You don't have chesed, being the Nida, right, that's going to permeate the entire world, so then the world is just going to collapse. It can't exist anymore. Kadosh Baruch Hu has to make a Gzar Din at that stage in the game, that it's just over, totally, totally over. And that can explain to us a little bit over here. Also, when we're trying to understand what Noach did wrong, right, Noach was wrongly to be destroyed, like this Sforno says. Right? So I think we understand that at least right now on a little bit more of a deep kind of a level. When Noah sees the world, okay, and he sees people going astray, people are messing up left and right, up and down, right? So here we have a very important outlook. And the truth is, if you think about this idea, it applies in so many other ways as well. You care about somebody else, and a person Mamish has a concern for another person, right? The real, honest, genuine concern for another person is an all-encompassing kind of a thing. If I see the person doesn't have a proper coat to wear during the winter, that's I'm going to be motivated to try to make sure he has something warm to put on. I see he doesn't have food to eat, I'm going to care about that, right? And that extends not only on the physical level, but also to the ruchnius thing as well. I see a person, again, that I care about, right? Obviously, I do wish you care about everybody, but let's speak about the small circles that we live in, right? I see someone I care about, and I see that there's something wrong, right? Again, whatever the example is going to be, the person's about to put some stray food into their mouth, and I know that he doesn't want to do that, he doesn't realize what it is. I'm going to try to stop him. Why? Right? Well, point out to me, hey, do you realize what you're about to do? Because if I care, I know that this is not something that's, he doesn't want that. I'm going to try to help him out, help him learn, help him do it. Whatever the chesed on a ruchnius level is, the greater your feeling of concern and caring for other people is going to be, you're going to look around, and this is incredibly true today, you're going to look around at the Jewish community, right, the entire Klai Yisrael, and see there's so many people out there that Pasha don't even know anything about Yadus. None of the ABCs about Yiddishkeit in the slightest bit. A person who cares, a person who's concerned, is going to try to do something about that as well, whatever we possibly can. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean we drop everything we do and get involved in Kirov seminars and whatever it is, but every person does have to, again, I'm saying this very, very clearly right now, does have to have in his mind, very much at the forefront of his mind, that he does have a responsibility to Klal Yisrael. So in any interaction that he has with any Jew out there in the world, has to be based on, again, the thoughts being there in our mind, based on a consideration and a concern for that person, to try to be the expression people use today, to be makarev, to draw him as close as possible back to what's good for him and what's proper for him. Once heard a beautiful mashal from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Shlita, who pointed out to me, he said, you see a person that's about to take poison, right? You don't actually know who he is, but he's about to drink something that has the big skull and the bones on the, and you know he's going to die when he eats that. So of course, if you're a normal person, you're going to jump and pull the thing out of his hand and not let him do that, right? So how can a Jew watch other people, mamish, killing themselves in a ruchniya sense and not care? It doesn't make any sense. Right? The problem is we don't really, and this is a problem for us, right? We don't really, really, really appreciate how important our Yiddishkeit is, how negative, right, not actually being medactic and things is going to be. But that's an aside, that's not for now. Let's come back to Noah. Noah sees the world, right? And Noah sees the world doing bad things, right? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at Noah and he sees him doing nothing about it, right? As the Sforno says, his lashon was, he was low, alumdu as dorim. Noah and his family didn't try to teach the generation ladas es Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what are you doing, basically? You're not getting punished because you didn't decide to choose a kirov, a profession, and then whatever it is. You want to be an accountant, not involved with Eishes Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Noah, you don't care, right? There's a lack of caring, meaning to say there's a very clear lack of what we call before chesed. Olam chesed yibana. The world is based on the idea that people have to care, people have to be concerned with other people. So for some people out there in that generation, that expressed itself in the gezel and that level of not caring, right? No respect for somebody else. Noah got a different pagam, a different deficiency in that level. But ultimately, it's all the same exact thing, right? As scary as that sounds, but that's true. Ultimately, it's all the same exact thing, and Noah is deserving of being drowned and killed in that marble for that, except for the fact, and matzachein be'enei Hashem. But it goes a little bit further. It goes a little bit further as well. There is a pasuk over here that really is hard to, it's very, very hard to understand. I'm reading from the beginning of the fourth Aliyah. It says, Vayidaber Elokim Noach Lemor, God says to Noach, say mina teva, get out of the teva, leave the teva, ata ishtach u'menecha neshev benecha itoch, you and your wife, your children, their wives, etc., everyone should leave. Okay? Sounds like a nice, innocent little pasuk. Leave the teva. You stop and think about that pasuk, again, at the beginning of Raviv, Mamish makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Lamashal, try to understand why it makes no sense. You get in a trip, okay? You're standing by Shoeva, it happens sometimes, and after one of these football games on Sunday night, you're standing by Shoeva, a guy pulls up, okay, you're waiting for a tram, you get in a car, where are you going? Beit Meir, great, I'm going to Beit Meir, so you hop in the car, okay? The guy pulls into the traffic circle and stops the car, okay? Your reaction, of course, like any normal person, is to sit in the car and not get out. The car is stopped, I'm here in Beit Meir, at the traffic, in front of my dorm, okay? And I'm sitting in the back of the car, I'm not going anywhere. So the guy is looking at me, I try to give me a hint, and he starts coughing, right? I'm just sitting in the back of the car, right? Why am I sitting there? Because no one told me to leave. Now, it doesn't really make all that much sense. I'm going to Beit Meir, I'm here, the car is stopped, the door is there, the dorm is there, so get out of the car and go back home. The guy wants you out of his car, he wants to go home also. Right? So only someone who has a slight mental deficiencies over here is going to sit in the car until there's an invitation to leave. Right? It's, as a matter of fact, he's not even so polite to say, that, get out of my car, please. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu destroys the world. Noach does the whole thing with the ravens and the doves and all that. The marble is over, okay? The ark over here has landed on Mount Ararat, whoever that is. Boom, right, boom, the whole thing is over. They all get banged around inside in the teva. Hey, it's over, right? The thing has an alizayas, the olive branch is there in the dove's mouth. We know the marble is done, we're saved, it's over. And they're sitting in the teva and they're not leaving, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell them, say, men, have to get out. Why? They don't know, the marble's done, we can get out, there's ground over here, we can, what were they waiting for exactly? Right? There's a Medrash in Tilman, Perek Lamed Zayin. Medrash says as follows, you see why this is related in just a second. The Medrash writes a very interesting comment that Malki Tzedek is a figure that's going to come up in next week's parsha, right? Malki Tzedek was one of the original kings of Yerushalayim, Yer Hashem, visiting us soon. And Malki Tzedek met up once with Noach's children, okay? And they said to him, he asked, Ketzad Yitzatim, how'd you leave the teva? And as you hear in just one second, the question, how'd you leave the teva, was understood, and what he meant was, what chus did you have? Why were you allowed to leave the teva? So Omer Lo, so he says back, B'tzedaka shahinu osim. Tzedaka. We did tzedaka in the teva, that was the chus. Omer Lo, Malki Tzedek, has written, B'chimat tzedaka hayu lechem lasu, v'chiyaniyim hayu sham. There were poor people, and you were giving charity. Lo hayu ala noach ubanu, it was only your family. What tzedaka was going on? Omer Lo, the answer is no. Alachaya habehem of ha'ov. Lo ayin yashenim kol alayim. We couldn't sleep mamish all night long. Alachayin knows them if nezev, if nezev. We were running around. This one had its feeding time then. This one had its time then. We were constantly being involved with the animals. Pamachas yicharnu is that smeino. One time we were a little bit late. Yotza avi meshuba. My father Noach, the famous story with the lion, got smacked by the lion. He walked out with a little limp. Over there, and it was an incredible amount of stuck that was going on. And because of that, we were allowed to leave the teva. The Medrash continues, Avram Avinu, when he heard this, that's where Avram Avinu got his brainstorm, if you will, of, wow, chesed is such an important thing. We all know about Avram Avinu's chesed and Achmas Orchim and all of that, but where did he get it? From the teva. Right? Like a very interesting connection, the whole story that's there. Now, what you see from that marriage is one very, very basic thing, very important thing. The teva was meant to be, what we'll call right now a base medrash of chesed. The whole idea of that year that was spent in that teva was to drill into those people there, like was told to them, lo hayina yishenim balayla, we weren't even able to go to sleep, a normal night's sleep, because we were so involved in maintaining all of the different species that were there in that teva. It was constant, yomam balayla, chesed im abriyot. What was so important about that chesed? It should be very, very obvious at this stage in the game. If the whole fault of the world and the whole reason why everything went to pat over there was because they were lacking that basic yisod of the olam chesed yibana, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells them, you are now going to have to spend a very long time basically doing absolutely nothing else other than working on building that mid of chesed back to normal. Why did Noah get smacked up by that lion and had to limp around the rest of his life? Because he came a little bit late. That's exactly the point. You came late. There's one small little deficiency in the chesed that was going on. He didn't get his food on time. It's like he didn't eat. He got it 5 minutes late. We don't know how late. It doesn't have to mean he was 2 hours late. He came a little bit later than he was supposed to be there. Boom. In a teva, that's deserving of an onus right now. Chesed has to be perfect in that teva. That's how we understand the pasuk we read before. Noach and his family understood like this: until we are told by a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we've achieved our goal, until we're told by the Rabbanu Shalom that we've actually perfected that midah of chesed, it's not over. Right? And we can bang into the mountain, and we can know the flood is basically done, the world has been destroyed, we're the last of the Mohicans right now, we're the only ones that are here, that's very, very nice. But I can't leave these four walls until the green light is there that says you've accomplished your mission, you're done. Again, because the teva was not a vehicle to save Noach and his family from the Mabel, as we might have thought all along. The teva was there, okay, we're going to explain this idea more, but the teva was there to be the place where they were able actually to perfect that sense of chesed. And until that was done, the world is not going to be able to start to get rebuilt. Again, olam chesed yibana, they have to now repopulate the world, it has to be built from scratch, and until they know, yeah, you guys are ready, it's okay to come and start doing that again, you can't leave. What happens, right? What happens is that Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a shvua, right? At the end of the story of the teva. When they come out of the teva, Kadosh Baruch Hu swears, right? I'm never going to destroy the world again. Apparently, what happened in that teva was so great. It was so great that Kadosh Baruch Hu actually was willing to put his major stamp of approval and say, you know what? The foundations of the world are strong enough right now that you people can go out there and start to repopulate, start to rebuild, and again, and basically have a world right now that's built on the proper midah of chesed. It's a fascinating insight, right? Because of this idea, we have another area in the parasha. When they're told to go into the teva, right? They were told the chumash again. I'm assuming you learned chumash and Rashi already. That he was told Noach uvanov, right? You and your children go into the teva. Ishtecha uneshei vanecha, your wife and your children's wives should go in as well. Rashi makes a comment. Ha'anoshim levad, ha'anoshim levad. Men go separately, women go separately. Not because it's Me'ah Sharam, but the Fisha Nesru, the Tashmish Amita, B'mnei Sha'olam Sharu Yibetzar. It was us to engage in Tashmish Amita because the world was in a state of tzar. You shouldn't be indulging in things when the world is in pain right there. And again, when they left the teva, like we read a second ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, Ata v'ishtecha, you and your wife, Banecho and Eshevanecho, your children and their wives. Rashi quotes, that's the sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them to say, you know what? Right? Tashmish Amita is going to be mutter again. You can go out as couples right now. That's okay. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, an unbelievable insight. Gevaldik. Tomorrow night we're going to meet up with the Orach Chaim in the Old City. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, maybe I'll say it's over over there. So it's such a beautiful, beautiful idea. He says like this, I don't understand what's happening over here. You look at the story, okay, of the teva. Like we pointed out before, the teva lands on the Hare Ararat, right? It's over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then comes to Noach and his family and says, "Same in a teva, you can go out, you, your wife, and etc." Now, I asked the Or HaChaim, if the Isser of Tashmish Amita was only because the world was in Tsar, right? Well, the Tsar was over. Everyone's dead already. You're the only people here right now. The flood is over. So get moving, right? Get back to the job of populating the world. I saved you here. Essentially, I think it's obvious. Everyone knew that Noah was saved to rebuild the world again. So go, get moving. Don't waste any time. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have this middle period where the Mabba was over, the world is not being destroyed anymore, but yet they were us and Batash Mishamit until they're told to leave? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh like this: Kol Od Sheim Bateva Hagam Sheshomu Yumei Yatzara Heim Be'Isser Azivag Ad Acher Yetziah. As long as they were in the Teva, the Or HaChaim says, and it's very meduic in the Pesukim. Again, if you don't have the Pesukim clear in your mind, look at it when you open up the Chumash. As long as they weren't told to leave, the Isser of Tashmish Amita was still in effect. That's the Or HaChaim. What's the Pshat in that? The Pshat is very, very obvious once you hear the whole discussion we've been having right now. Yes, it's true that there's no more Tsar in the world, right? It's over. But the Isser of Tashmish Amita in the Teva also has another element, another component to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wanted that there should not be more people brought into this world until the foundation of Chesed, the foundation, is strong again. And until that's perfect, until the Chesed, the Olam Chesed Yibana, is there, I can't even. I don't want the shaky people anymore. I want people who are mamish built, excuse me, born into a world of Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them eventually, obviously, Tzei Men HaTeva. Now I see at this stage, whatever day it was, good, you're allowed to leave. It's perfect. You've done everything you can. You are metahir yourselves in that Midas HaChesed. You're allowed to leave. And it's only then that we're being told, that they were told, you know what? Now it's time to bring more people into the world. This is a new generation right now. A totally new world order is being created by Noach. A world that's actually built strongly on people's chesed with each other. The first time around, it was all based on Kadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed, create the world, and people start reproducing. Now, the people themselves have perfected that chesed. They are ultimate Baalei Chesed. Now you're able to build a world deserving that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to swear, I'm not going to destroy it anymore. The foundation is so strong, the world is here for good. That Bekitzer, is what Parshas Noach is all about. That idea of how incredibly pivotal, right, Chesed is meant to be in our lives. We're not going to sit and I'll talk about all the opportunities that we have for different chassadim, again, like we spoke before, and gashmis and ruchnias and everything that's there. But one thing we do have to realize, that Chesed is not a nidah, it's not a nice thing to do, it's not a trait that we work on Chesed month during school, etc. Chesed is our life. Okay, everything that we're doing has to be revolving around the concern of Olam Chesed Yibana. That's the entire A to Z of all that's taking place over here in the story. And Amir Tashem, we should live up to that goal of a real sense of Olam Chesed Yibana, a real sense of Chesed for Klal Yisrael. And Amir Tashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look at us as people that are mamish walking in His Derech HaChesed, deserving of actually living over here in this world. Okay, well, let's move up front a little bit. After we wait till everyone gets in, then we're going to start. We have a couple of announcements to make about the Chaburas and the...